Hello, welcome to MASH Liberation Radio. This is Lily.
And I'm Kaylee.
And we are so happy to have you listening to MASH Liberation Radio on KWINK 97.7, a community radio source with over 50 DJs and many local community members supporting these amazing shows that we have on here. Shout out to Kiki on the beat. We love her. Her show is so great. We love it. We love all the shows at KWINK, and we just want to thank everybody for listening. Happy third anniversary.
Happy third anniversary, KWINK.
Yeah, we love you. We hope to be around for a long time. Today, we have two very special guests from Black Wall Street. Hey, fellas, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing great.
Good. So who do we have here?
We have Romar Tolliver and
Donald Griffin, the director of Black Wall Street and outreach for the Black Wall Street.
Great. And then we have Romar Tolliver.
Yeah, I'm president of Black Wall Street, co-founder.
Awesome. So good to talk to you guys. I know we've been wanting you on for a long time. So, you guys have been getting some great press and also just been doing some amazing things. I was wondering, I've been to your place a couple of times. It's starting as a bookstore, the Ancient Wisdom Bookstore, right, Romar? I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about the background of the bookstore.
First, it started off as just an idea, spreading some awareness and kind of some enlightenment reading, sharing some different books. There's a few Black authors that I've read before, and I never found their books circulating in Barnes and Nobles or anything like that. So I kind of had an idea of gathering books for the local community, the Black community, and, you know, see what I can do with that.
That's great. And then how long have you been open?
We've been open, coming on 3 months. This is our fourth month coming up.
Great. And tell everybody where you are. What's the address?
We're at 351 Wells Avenue, upstairs at Suite 100.
Great. So I was really excited to hear about you guys when I love the name. And then I just also love the project. I think it's exactly what everybody needs to be doing. And I'm just so proud of how fast you're moving and how great everything's going. Donald, why don't you tell us a little bit about just your background and maybe how you two met to start being the dynamic duo?
Batman and Robin. I'll be Robin. I'm Donald Griffin, and I'm a peer support specialist, and I do a lot of outreach. I first started doing the outreach with my business, New Generation Dare, and that was bringing the awareness of youth and homeless addiction. And I met Romar at Fitness for 10 downtown, and he invited me to a few of his little seminars. And he told me, hey, you know what? I'm applying my dream. I'm putting my dream into effect. You know, you're more than welcome to come over. I walked into his dream and we made a reality. And we're here with Black Wall Street, Ancient Destiny Bookstore, right along with New Generation Dare. And we go out there to Tent City, along the river, all the way next to the GSR. We're passing out blankets. Feel free to donate at 351 South Wales upstairs, Suite 100. And volunteers is more than welcome. But my drive is really with the youth and the youth addiction, because I've battled addiction for about 23 years. And I know what it feels like to come out of that coma. I know what it feels like to be helpless without feeling any love or not loving myself. Ready to die, but too scared to kill myself. I know about them feelings, so I want to bring life back to these children and ask them what their dreams are and help to restore that.
Wow, that was super real.
So powerful, man.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Can you tell us more about what you all do every Saturday at Tent City?
Well, we went out there. We're serving from the donations that has been so generously given to us. Can't thank them enough. Project 150, Liz, Kimberly, everybody, Purge, everybody. Lily, thank you guys for all the help you have been giving us. Without your support, we wouldn't be really moving in this direction. But we go out there. Not only do we give the people items, but we give them conversation. We're not just handing them bags. Anybody can feed the people. Anybody can do that. But we're out there actually bringing our computers out there next week. Hey, what do you actually need? If you just need somebody to talk to, we're taking that time out to talk to you. If you need to go to a meeting, we're going to the meeting with you. So we're getting these, building these rapport with these people so they don't think, okay, I'm just going to take this food, walk away, and that's the last time I see you till next Saturday. Mm-hmm. Nah, you know what? Here's where we're located. Come talk to us. We hold all recovery meetings there. That way you can bring whatever addiction from eating to depression and just come get it off your chest. You're somebody. You're not the unseen anymore.
Yeah. I love that about what so many Black leaders are doing right now, just taking it into our own hands, and so many other leaders and all of this community support that is coupled with conversation and actual outreach is what's really important. It's important to not feel like you are unseen, like you said. I think that's really great. And then the education piece, too, is so wonderful. So what is it? I'm kind of curious, like, what was it about Romar when you first met? Like, what were you studying that made you guys kind of link up? Because there's kind of that moment when you start working with someone when you realize it's going to be a good match. I know definitely Kaylee and I had that moment, and now we're like always seeing each other, right? Yeah. So what was that moment for you guys?
Well, I would say that I had already seen Donald doing his little outreach and things on Facebook within the city. And a little background on myself, I'm born and raised in Reno. And for about 5 to 7 years, I was doing some music. I was a little local rapper. And around that same time, I was trying to do some little community outreach with hosting shows and things of that nature. And for a minute there, I got a little support. But the positive support that I was looking to generate never seemed to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. So when I seen Donald, you know, out hands-on, not only doing his work, but after work, he was still, you know, doing outreach and things. So it was kind of like, yeah, I need to get with this guy and see what we can put together type of thing, because I see his drive. I see his persistence, you know, I see his commitment and passion. So it was only right to reach out to him and get to know him and build a relationship with him. And it turned into something significant.
It's beautiful to see, too. So what we've been calling for, I guess, since inception, but definitely as we're coming up to the election and stuff, is for more people to either do the thing that they think needs to be done to help other folks, or to join and volunteer other people. Can you encourage other people that, like, whatever idea that they have or feeling that they have to, that, like, if they feel compelled to help other people, that they should just do it, like, just start?
Right, really. When you get the feeling of, like, you need to jump, you might as well jump, or you'll be stuck there hoping, wishing, thinking forever. So it was lovely for us to be able to take the initiative and be able to build and feed off of one another and, you know, get the job done and get the ball rolling. Yeah. And it's manifest faster and bigger than we imagined. But it's lovely to be a part of it. It's growing, learning. Every day is a journey. You know, you meet so many new people from different backgrounds, all walks of life. And, you know, everybody has an experience that we all can learn from.
We do. And it's that kind of stuff, you know, that will propel our community forward. It's way more than just voting. It's more than just being good sometimes. That's always being good to yourself and other people, right? I really think that you two embody that a lot.
Yeah, I'm curious. Did you get any inspiration from the Black Panthers? Because your initiatives remind me a lot of their mutual aid projects. Maybe not, maybe somewhere else. Where did you get your inspiration from?
Go ahead, Donald, answer that one.
Maybe something you read. You guys seem like you've like been reading a lot of like Black authors.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. A little bit of everything. The Black Panther movement, what other little civil rights movement, you know, all the little movements for change along the way in the last 100 years. We take the little PowerPoints from each little Black leader that has arose in their time, you know, and kind of study their strong points and trying to find a way to allocate them to this day and age.
Yeah, and I want to know too, there's something that takes you from like it, just because you're helping other people doesn't mean that your life is perfect either, right?
But right,
sometimes
right.
It's you helping helps you heal, right?
Right,
like it helps you
right.
become a better person. Like at least I know that when I'm really feeling crappy, if I go out of my way to try to help somebody, I feel much better afterwards. You know, it is still also self-serving. So I want to know, Donald, you said you suffered from addiction for a while. You were kind of like at the hands of addiction. What was that turning point for you where you saw that light and then turned it around to try to help other folks that had?
My turning point was when I got into trouble and the public defender said, judging from your record, you can't stay sober, so you might as well go to jail. And I had just had my jaw broken, so I had just had surgery, and Victims of Crime just paid for my rent. And I'm like, I haven't even been in there for a month. I got 3 months rent paid. I don't want to lose that, so let me try the program. But it was just that initiative of her saying that you can't do it. Now, I've tried to stop for all these other reasons, but nobody said you just can't do it. So she made a bet with me, and I said, all right. And that was my turning point, but I didn't understand how to live any other way besides criminal activity, drinking and drugging, and just living the fast life. So I started going to these AA meetings, and I just filled out a place, the only Black person there, you know, felt like an ink spot in a bowl of milk. But I started to love
Sorry,
myself.
That's a trigger. That was good.
That was like, wait.
I isolated from everybody. I'm talking about I didn't go out. All I did was work, the gym, and home. I isolated for 2 years. My only friends was a plant. I got two plants now. I had to be by myself, and I started loving myself, and I started caring about myself. And my old friends no longer asked me, do you want to go get high? And that's when I knew I had the respect of other people, because they didn't see the old me anymore. They started congratulating me, and then I started congratulating myself. And then I started looking at other people like, you know what? God has given me the key to open up the gate. And who am I to sit back and enjoy life when there's so many other people that's out there suffering? Kids are being lost to CPS. And we're losing them because not because we don't want it, it's that this is the only frame of mind that we know how to deal in. And once reality hit, we retreat and we don't know how to deal with reality. And, you know, there's just so much to this addiction that I think people overlook so much.
Yeah, true, true. I love that idea of challenging just because someone told you you couldn't. That's very much mm-hmm. how I operate, too. Like, I have to be proving you wrong to really succeed. Like, that's my favorite. The best revenge is success, right?
Yeah. She told me, she said, if you complete this program, I'll take you out to lunch. And I'm like, all right.
What's her name? Let's shout her out.
I can't remember. I have to look her up.
Did she buy you lunch, though?
Did she do it?
I never called her because in my mind...
she owes you a fancy one.
Yeah, it was sacred to me. Yeah, it was sacred to me. Like, And the same judge that sentenced me, I work out at the same gym with him. And he told me, he said, when I think about giving people second chances, I think of you.
What judge is that? Do you know offhand?
I don't.
Oh, man, because I want a good job. We need to congratulate all the good judges.
Yeah, Judge Sullivan. She was my court judge. And Judge Sullivan, she was my specialty court judge.
Thank you.
And she was good. She actually took the time out. Judge Holmes also, she's a very good judge. She takes the time out to actually help people. You have a lot of these judges that just throw you a mental health and give you their pills, and now you're addicted to what they're going on. Mm-hmm. And it's like you telling me I got ADD, now I got to take what you give me, and I don't even know what that term means. I just got to go with it because you didn't label me now.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, at least one, go ahead.
Yeah, so because we've been talking a little bit about, you know, judges and things like that. By the way, a good time to shout out the judges forum and information that MassLib did, that they did down south. It was an informative about judges, part two. What is it? The candidates part two. But I wanted to know how important do you think it is to vote for things like judges? Like, how important is that judge's history to the potential to survive for the next people?
I'm glad you asked that, because I'm writing my book called The Man of Many Faces, and I'm right on this in this paragraph where I'm saying that I received a felony for a bar fight, and they said, well, I use a deadly weapon. I said, well, what was the deadly weapon? They said my hands and my feet. I'm like, okay, this is just a bar fight. And in this same courtroom, this young white lady had a manslaughter. She hit somebody and took off. She said she was so intoxicated, she didn't know if it was a branch or a human body, and she panicked. But they gave her probation. And I'm thinking to myself, all I did was get into a fist fight, and it was just that, okay, let me give him a felony, but she didn't know any better. The boys will be boys kind of syndrome. So if you have those people in seats where they can make decisions on your life, because they're making, you got these young men and women that are actually scared of being in trouble. So we don't know the law. So we're taking what you're giving us, and you're playing action with our life. You're playing with the turnout of our lives. If we can be a police officer, bear arms to protect our family, whatever the outcome you and your best friend that you went to school with makes on our life, it determines everything. So I think that our votes for these judges is very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Power of Justice.
Thank
mass
you.
Liberation,
yes.
Put together. So if you're in the down south in Las Vegas, please check that out for recommendations on judges for tomorrow night, because tomorrow night is the last day you can vote.
The last day, everybody. Romar, what about you? Why don't you chime in a little bit on how you feel these? I know for community organizers like us, the local elections are a little bit more, I'm more zeroed in on that. So how are you feeling about?
As far as like electing judges?
Yeah. How important is that? The judges that you elect.
It's vital because, I mean, that's kind of like the start of the gentrification process. You know what I mean? The judge kind of aids in the gentrification process with the prison to pipeline, you know.
Ain't that the truth?
A lot of the black males, Latino males are labeled a felon. You know what I mean? They got to carry that weight of that stigma with them for life. Being labeled a felon is life altering.
Yeah, and what when we talk about that kind of stuff, like when you noticed like that you were being charged a felony for something that somebody else did the same thing, right? They did exactly the same thing. How common is that in communities like Reno?
We're more populated with the European. And how I see it, they still give them the same amount of time as they give us, because they outnumber us.
So I guess I'm talking about the girl who got probation over you.
Oh, yeah. For the girls who got probation, it was like a slap in the face. Like, that when it really opened my eyes, like, we're playing a game and we do not know the rules to it at all. Mm-hmm. And when they ask you, need a interpreter, they're not talking about speaking Spanish. They mean somebody to break down the law to you, because mm-hmm. you have no idea of what they're doing to us. And it, here in Reno, Nevada, it's generation after generation. So that means my mother went to school with your dad. So all we're doing is we have dinner together on the Christmas. So when we get in the courts, we're playing with these people's lives. Mm-hmm. And they don't know. They're just taking the deal because they don't want to get in trouble. So we're taking anything you give to us. And later on, we can't even become a judge or a mm-hmm. firefighter because of a blemish that could have been solved, or it could have been a slap on the hand. But they don't give us that. They go ahead and give us a football number. And then if you get caught again, they give you what they call the habitual. When I just seen somebody go to jail for maybe a 20-second crystal meth, but since their criminal history is so active, so long, then they want to give you 15 years for a mental health disorder, which is addiction.
Right. And that's if you're lucky, like Reno habitually murders people in mental health crisis.
Right.
Justice for Micaiah Lee.
Yes, justice for Micaiah Lee.
I was speaking of that. Have you been keeping up with that story of Micaiah Lee? And would you like to speak on that, or do you have any opinions about what they came into conclusion through the Reno police report and the body cam footage?
Is that the guy they shot at home?
He was an 18-year-old boy who was shot in Sparks on Rock Boulevard.
We are talking about Micaiah Lee. He was a 19-year-old who was shot, having a mental health crisis, shot 5 times by Reno. Sparks Police Department. And he was diagnosed pretty early with a mental health disorder. What do you think, Donald, could have been done differently? What kinds of programs could have Micaiah had in the community before this event that could prevent things like death? Or what could you have had growing up that would have changed that outcome? Like, because there are things that happen before you wind up in jail or surrounded by the police, right? Like, what could the community have done for you, and how can we figure out, you know, how to fix that?
I'm born and raised in South Central Los Angeles, so I was really a product of my environment, which is 100% different from here in Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
You know, I hear people talk about PTSD coming from the Army. Well, living in South Central Los Angeles, we couldn't go back home. We were home, and we had to deal with our PTSD. So suppressing our feelings and our memories and trying to adjust to life is the way that we done. And so when we act out, it was almost like this is how we expressed ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we acting out because we got so much bottled up, but it's not like being in the Army where you can go back home and be with your kids. The war is at home. Mm-hmm. How I feel that we can do different and start talking to these kids instead of doping them up with medicine all the time. You just, the kid is trying to tell you something, and we're trying to suppress his memory by the dope that we're giving him. Whatever you want to call the dope that the mental health is giving them. I think it's big money game. I think that these police should be held responsible. When I say held responsible, if they have any neglect on any of their cases, turn off their body cam, anything, we take their pension. Yeah. We stop their pay. And that's how you start protecting our kids, by affecting their family.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
the only way I see it right now, because right now, they're in full-blown battle mode, and they don't care about our protests. They don't care about our radio station. They care only about themselves. So that's how we get them. We start taking away from their family pensions, put insurance on them and just hold them accountable. And we got to do that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's why we all need to talk about it as much as we can. We all need to be calling out the cops all the time. Always call the cops every day. They don't care about you.
Every day. Every day. They really don't care.
They really don't.
No, they don't. And you see it in their actions. I haven't seen any cops really just come out and speak and actually without any political stuff behind their action. I'm talking about really from family to family and speak their minds. I haven't seen it. It's about time. And I don't know how to apologize to a mother after losing her son, but it's something that needs to be done to give her some type of closure. Right. And I don't think we're going to stop until she gets that closure.
Agree. Yeah, I mean, we're still on the pursuit for that one good cop that exists. Just one. I'm still looking for him. Romar, what do you think about that? Like, what, you know, I can see ancient wisdom being a place where, you know, maybe if a kid had met you and Donald and when they're dealing with some peer pressure or dealing with stuff at home or just inside their own heads, like finding a bookstore where they learn about things and have some older black role models, like, how important is that kind of stuff?
It's extremely important. I mean, due to the fact, you know, hands-on experience can't be taught or read or given from a book, you know what I mean? So actual life experiences that you're able to share with a younger generation is vital. I remember growing up and having conversations with, you know, older people in the neighborhood that come with the, if I was your age and I know what I know now type of talk, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they never really had the significant information to, you know, detour me from roadblocks and traps that were set up for those in the inner city. Yeah. But yeah, just having an extra place. I mean, when I was growing up, we had the boys club, you know, mm-hmm. type of thing, but it was not really a focused intent. It was just a place to, you know, go play tag, act up type of thing until your parents came and got you. It wasn't a place of actual learning, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a big difference between an after school club and what Black Wall Street's doing, and I think that's really important. Donald, I love that you bring your daughter out. I've noticed that on social media when I see you, and I think that's so great too. Like, your daughter will be a better person just by spending this kind of time with you doing meaningful things.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's super important. And I think what it really comes down to, too, is, like, the kids just need attention, you know? Like, all the kids need attention. And the way that capitalism is structured, nobody can afford to give them the amount of attention that they need. So it is really important
right. For
people like you, yeah. You know, for all of us, because it takes a village, right?
Right. And as kids get older, they need more of parents' time. You know what I mean? Yeah. We seem to think that as they get older, they need less of our time.
No.
But no, there's too many distractions, peer pressure, and yeah.
I agree.
More time is needed, hands-on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. There, you can't spend enough time, apparently.
Romar, I wanted to ask you, you said you're from Reno, Nevada. How do you think that shaped your organizing?
Well, in what aspect you mean? I mean, shaped my organizing?
Yeah, like
I've always tried to, see, I went to Glen Duncan, I went to Trainer Middle School, I went to Hug High School. So, you know, I've been a local boy all my life. And, just kind of seeing the gentrification take place in the northeast side of Reno. It's different. It's different. I guess because of the numbers, so to speak.
Was there a time that you knew that you wanted to stay here in this community and help this community, or like when, what kind of made you decide to take this big stance on building Black Wall Street here?
I've always kind of wanted to uplift and do some kind of community work. When I did go to middle school here in Reno, there was a program available. It was called Progressive Black Men, and I believe it was led by Daryl Feimster that had passed away. So, yeah.
All right. So, I am wondering, you wanted to do some youth outreach. Romar, why is it so important that kids are listening to and writing and reading Black authors, creators?
It's vital because, you know, the more information you read, the more words you know, the further you can expand your mind, you know what I mean? The more wider your vocabulary is, bigger the horizon of your ideas. So we want to encourage, you know, kids to speak more truthful from their heart, you know, writing and poetry, writing books, journalism, any kind of literature, you know, it's vital.
Yeah.
The one who controls the pen controls the mind. You know, we've been going off of his story. It's time to tell our story.
I love that. I love that. Donald, did you want to add anything? You were saying that you wanted to do some kind of like incentive for schools that wanted to include Black Wall Street.
Yeah. So the kids that want to read any book of their choice, if they want to get up and do poetry reading, and we'll have something for their participation. We'll give them, you know, first place. We don't want to do any places. We don't want to discourage. But we want to give everybody that participates something to take home and keep them motivated to keep doing and reading and moving in a positive direction.
I love it. I love it.
I think that's really beautiful. We always talk about how educating people is really important part of organizing and activism. And we actually had, Romar, you brought up a Feimster. We had Adrian Feimster on our show. And she's been organizing around Hug High School, which is where you went. So that's pretty cool. And
yeah, well, look at us all meeting up and still fixing it. Sometimes you get just frustrated enough that you do it yourself.
All right.
We want to thank you guys for coming on today, and we hope to talk to you soon, very soon.
Thank you for having us.
Y'all have to come down and bring and donate some winter clothing.
Yeah.
I don't have coats, but I have, like, scarves and stuff.
And can people just show up, too, Donald? Is it cool if people show up if they're needing resources, or?
Yes. We want you to come and use our resources and reach out to us so we can start pointing people into the right direction.
Really appreciate it.
Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. in the evening. Tuesday through Saturday.
Saturday,
we usually do our outreach and our homeless resource distribution. But, stop by. Come check us out. Come volunteer some time, idea, effort, whatever it may be. The community needs it.
They do. Yay, community power.
All our listeners, after election night,
Volunteer. That's all you have to do. Election night, you don't get to feel sorry. You can feel sorry for yourself as a treat, but when you wake up in the morning, I want you hitting the volunteer list hard. So we're going to send you guys out with, what song did you want to hear? We were talking about it a little earlier. This song goes out to all the police officers out there.
The oinkers.
Every single one of you. All of them. Every single one of you. You guys are listening.
Every last one of them.
Every single one. And yes, I mean your uncle and your brother and your cousin too. Anyone. All of them. We want to thank Black Wall Street, Romar T. Wisdom, and Donald Griffin for coming on the show. We want to thank 97.7 K-Wink and all of our community supporters. And I want to thank you, Kaylee.
Thank you, Lily. KWNK is brought to you by over 50 DJs. Shout out to Fempire Records. Check them out. Shout out to Mood Soothers.
We love Mood Soothers. We girl crush on Mood Soothers so hard. All right. Thank you guys so much. Here's a song.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
You too.
Power to the people.
Power to the people.